Blog Talk Radio. good morning, good morning. I thank God for each and every one of you that's on the line with us. I thank God for those that will be listening, you know, via way of the archives and things of that sort. And I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And that's our foundational scripture, St. Matthew 6 and 33. So I thank God for each and every one of you. And now I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray with us and pray for us. And, of course, if there's time, I'll come back and share what the Lord has given me to share with you all on today. And, of course, I will also be doing a prayer as well. Minister Sheila.
Thank you, Apostle Elect. I'll just say your prayers and have something to say.
We can hardly hear you, Minister Sheila. Can you please speak up?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
It sounds like you're a little muffled, but we can hear you better.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, our Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus. For another day, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Because without you, we would not be here today, no matter what we think it. We're here because of us. No, it wouldn't be us if God, the Father, and the Son wouldn't have had granted us with the mercy of life for another day. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Give us life. Eyes to see, but the ones that do have eyes, ears, eye, nose, mouth, legs, arms, just a body of function that we need not to take for granted. But so many are missing their limbs. They might can't see what you can. Do not take that for granted. Some can walk. Some have one leg. Some have none. But I just want to say to each and every one on this earth that God has made for us to live in love and joy and happiness under him, through him, and for him, that we should not take for granted. So many of us did not make it here today. Some might have started today but did not finish it off. But Lord, I thank you. But my sisters, my brothers, my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons. Lord, I just thank you for the world. And Lord, I ask you to look over the ones that have been going through these tragedies lately of these unrighteous people that figure they can just take a life because they figure they can. Don't let people know because of your job you don't have no authority to decide who lives and who dies or what you can do and won't do it to cure them of this ugliness and this wickedness. Lord, we need you to take us all through this, to bless all the families of the ones that have lost their lives through this evil virus just going around, just killing off people, or people just killing people just to kill people for no reason, because they just can. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you because I know, and I know so many do know, that without you, our life would not be in existence. But I thank you, and I thank you, and I ask you to bless us all and keep us safe, and to let us know to get a point across, if not to do any harm, damage, or to danger lives or even ourselves. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us. And as I say, I cannot never thank you enough. But Lord, I thank you, and I ask you to fix us all. Lord, feed us with your nourishment, your word, your way of life. Lord, we need your help and your guidance. And I ask you to take us all and open up our eyes, our minds, in our hearts, to let us know we are here, your sons and daughters, to love each other and to treat us all the way that we know that you would rather for us to be toward each other in a good way and not an evil way. And I thank you, and I thank you, and to bless us all, possibly let Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Margot Bacor, Dr. Serena Wright, Minister Brandon, and to each and every one. But Lord, I give thanks to you, and I thank you, and I will forever thank you, and thank you for your life. You have blessed us forever and ever. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Lex, to say your title.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila. I would like for us to make sure that although I know we're going to be teaching today, and I don't know if we're going to do a one-part series, two-part series, or what it will be, but I want us to pray for the youth. I saw one of them that was protesting. Her sign said, "We are not our ancestors. We will F you up." And I thought to myself that sometimes we don't understand that an oppressed society may not fight the same way as an unoppressed society or a group of people who do not show honor and respect for authority in the first place. So let's please make sure that we're praying for our youth. We're praying for the agitators that are being used to try to provoke people and to cause them to do that which they would not normally do. So I'm going to start off with a prayer, and I thank Minister Sheila for her prayer. And we could never pray enough. Father God, I'm praying to you. I repent for sins of commission and omission, every deed done or said, or even conceived in my heart that might not be pleasing unto your sight. Father God, I pray for your manifested, eternal, and everlasting agape love. I pray for your honor and your respect. I pray for your two-way communication, Father God. I pray for your wholehearted holiness, God. I pray for your healing and your wholeness. Father God, I pray for your clear and concise communication. Father God, I pray for your closeness and your respect. Father God, I ask you for your unity to be fruitful not only in our relationships with one another, but in our finances. God, I pray for your protection and your favor. I thank you, God, for your honesty and even your tough love that is accepted and that is maximized. Because, God, usually tough love is tough only when we don't accept it. God, help us not to reject your feedback and your criticism that you allow people to give us, because even when they criticize, God, we can use it as that which was feedback. Father God, I pray and I plead in the name of Jesus against every type of rebellion, every type of witchcraft or wizards or demonic warfare, evil manipulation, evil addictions, that nice, nasty attitude that they want to act like they're being nice, but they're really being nasty. God, help us with bad attitudes. Help us with corrupt communication towards one another. Father God, help us to destroy and annihilate everything in us or in others that we're around that's not like you. Father God, I'm praying for every family that has decided to allow fear and suffering to bind them, God. God, I pray for every family member and every friend and associate that's allowed themselves to be victims or subjected to those that they've lost. God, whether they've lost them through a noose around that family member or friend's neck, or whether they've lost them to a knee to the neck that's pressed to the ground or the pavement. Oh, God, if they've lost someone that's suffocated through a gas chamber. God, if they've lost someone that's become incontinent and lost their bowels or their bladder, both naturally and spiritually, God, I come before you now, God, asking you to heal, to deliver, to set free those that have been suffering and suffocating and dying and damaged from all of the civil rights and all of the things that have come against your people, God, that have come against the people of color, that have come against Jews and Gentiles, that have come against Hispanics and Asians, God, that have come against Native Americans, God, whoever they are, God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will loose your justice, that you will loose those people that have died and become sick and they've declared that they're going to do this or that via that of hate, God, but we ask you to cause us to breathe the breath that you've given us, God. For when you breathed into us, God, you said it was good. We ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that we will breathe the justice that you've given us, that we will breathe the favor that you've given us, God, that we will breathe the love that you've given us, God, and that when we hear someone saying, whether it's naturally or spiritually, I cannot breathe, God, that we'll give them artificial breath, God, in order to help them breathe. God, we ask you to go into the 52 American states, to over 1,400 cities, to 197 sovereign countries and nations. And God, we ask you to heal those that are in the ethnic groups, whether they're American Indians, Alaskan Indians, Asians, Blacks, African Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, Native Hawaiians, Pacifics, the Caucasian. God, we ask you to heal those that speak the over 6,500 spoken languages and dialects. God, we ask you to heal, to cause your healing and your wholeness to perpetually echo and manifest every second of our lives, God, every 86 quintillion, 400 quadrillion, and the femtoseconds, God, of our lives, God. We ask you, Father God, for us to breathe for those that have been denied the right to breathe again. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name, God. We ask you to silence the naysayer, God. Silence those that would cause all type of discord, all those that will cause discord amongst the sisters, amongst the brothers, amongst the parents, among the cousins, among the aunts and the uncles, the friends, the neighbors, the institutionalized injustices, the institutionalized racism and sexism, whatever is causing us not to breathe the breath that you've given us, God, that we'll breathe that breath that you've given us, God. We take this moment right now, God, before we say amen, for a moment of silence for those that have fallen prey, God. They fall and pray to the false evidence that appeared real. Amen and amen for every one that's a family member or a friend, whether it was Emmett Till, whether it was Trayvon, whether it was Miss Taylor. Some of us can think of people in our families, people that we've known that have fallen prey to institutionalized racism and sexism, or they hate us, God, just because of our skin color. But cause us, God, not to walk in fear because of that false evidence that appears real. God, cause us to know that your word declares that, oh, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's Isaiah 41 and 10. Cause us, God, for even your word reminds us that when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. That's Psalms 56 and 3. God, help us to put our trust in you. Help us, God, to be anxious for nothing, but to make our prayer and petitions and thanksgiving, God, make our request known to you. Give us the peace that transcends all understanding according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. God, give us the peace that you left with us. Give us the peace that you gave us. Give us the peace that reminds us that you didn't give us a spirit to be worried or afraid according to John 14 and 27. Teach us, God, that you've given us your power and your love and your sound mind, not a spirit of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. God, teach us to love, for to love you, God, is to fear you. And that's not false evidence appearing real, but that's real fear and reverence for you, God. Cause us not to be that person that would fear because we know not to fear you, God. For your word in Isaiah 43:1 reminds us, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Thank you for your redemption, God. Thank you for reminding us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we will fear no evil. For you are with us, God. Your rod and your staff, it comforts us. So we thank you, for God, for being with us, for teaching us how humble we need to be. For we're to humble ourselves before the almighty hand of God. God, thank you for reminding us that although we may get discouraged, but we can be strong and not be afraid, for we know that you're going to rescue us, according to Isaiah 35:4. Thank you, God, for teaching us to cast our cares on you, God, for you will sustain us, and that you will never let the righteous fall, according to Psalms 55:22. Thank you, God, for reminding us to take courage in you, because we don't have to be afraid, according to Mark 6:50, and according to Deuteronomy 31:6. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you, God, for reminding us that you're our refuge and our strength, and you're our ever-present help in times of trouble, according to Psalms 46:1. God, we thank you for where the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is to be kept safe, according to Proverbs 29:25. So we thank you, God, that we're not to fear man, but we're to trust you, God. Teach us how to trust you, and teach us how to trust you even the more, God. Teach us how even Psalms 91 is a whole psalm that talks about how you are our refuge and our fortress, how it talks about how you are our protector and how you're faithful and how you are our shield, and how even in the midst of darkness and plagues and people may fall at our right hand or our left hand, but it won't come nigh us, God. So we thank you for not allowing the plagues of people to come nigh us, whether it's COVID-19 or whether, God, it's that for which many have fallen, whether it was by the noose or by the pressure on a broken neck, my God, or whether it was the gas chamber, my. Or whether it was the things that we know Emmett Till went through that was publicized in the news. God, we thank you, for we know that the very definition of fear is a threat or harm or a real or imagined or physical or emotional or psychological trigger that causes a person to be afraid. It causes them to worry, causes them to be anxious, causes them to feel overwhelmed, causes them to move in a place of darkness that makes them make wrong decisions. God, we thank you for not giving us that spirit of fear. Once again, you've given us power and love and a sound mind. You've given us the peace that you said you would leave with us through your Son, through your word. So we thank you. We thank you that your word has reminded us not to be anxious. Even though that false evidence appears real and it tries to move us into fear and anxiety, God, you told us that your peace you have left with us. Your peace, even in the midst of the pressures that are that things, those things that we wrestle with, those things that we struggle with, whether it's the things that bind us or the things that blind us. So whether it binds us until we feel that we can't utterly move, or it blinds us that we can't see you, we can't see your word. God, even Elijah was blinded at one time. Even Elijah was blinded when he thought that Jezebel, who had threatened his life, could kill him. But God, you sent him what he needed in order to fulfill his purpose. So much so, God, that you caused him to be carried to heaven on a chariot of fire. Father God, we thank you. Even Gideon, who wrestled with his faith, God, you gave him the abundance of the grace that he needed in order to fulfill his mission. Even Moses, that stuttered and he struggled with the ability to do what you told him to do, to deliver the people from Egypt. God, you sent him someone to help him. You sent him a ram in the bush. His brother assisted him. And although he was frustrated, God, even when he wrestled with his stuttering, you gave him the grace. You gave him the strength that he needed in order to meet the mission that you gave him. Even David, that struggled with sin and you repented, you allowed him to repent and to be restored, God. You've told us to repent. You've told us that we should be quick to listen. We have to be quick to listen and slow to respond. Help us, God. For even though David was in Ziklag and they stole his wives and the men's wives, and he committed adultery and he murdered a man, God, he wrestled with his faith, and yet you allowed him to be known as someone that worshiped you. You allowed him to be known as the king. God, we thank you for even Jonah, when he didn't want to do what you told him to do because he wanted you to actually to strike the people down, to punish the people. So much so he ran. He ran and he ended up in a creature's belly, God. You still gave him the grace and the compassion that he needed in order to do what you told him to do. Father, even Jeremiah, who practiced institutionalized ageism against himself, for he told you that he was too young to do that which you called him to do. God, you empowered him so that he wouldn't be afraid because he was young. You showed him that you could touch his lips, and the very words that you would put in his lips would deliver a people, would deliver a nation. God, even Abraham and Sarah, that they struggled and they wrestled with the fact that they were too old. And Sarah even tried to help you out. And we ended up with a son that was Ishmael, that there are so many things going on in this world today because of the Ishmael that have been loosed into society and that have caused us to wrestle with our faces and wrestle with our hands and wrestle with our ears and wrestle with our feet. We wrestle with every fiber of our total being, God, with not doing what you told us to do with our lips and our tongues. We're wrestling with our minds and our hearts. We're wrestling with them, God. When you even had to tell Abraham 7 times that you would give him a child, and yet on that 6th time, God, he still fell on his face, but he laughed. God, if we have to laugh in the midst of us needing to have our hope restored, if we have to laugh even in the midst of knowing that you will do just what you say, God, give us the ability to understand that after we laugh, we still win. After we doubt, like doubting Thomas, we still win. After we doubt, even like Mary, that the mother of Jesus that asked, how could she conceive? She was a virgin. Even like Joseph, her husband, that doubted, that wanted to know, how could she be pregnant? I've never touched her. Even like Mary and Martha that struggled with their faith. My. Because they said to Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But God, even on that very day, you restored Lazarus to life so that he could breathe again. My. Help us, God, to breathe again. Even when John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb, even when John the Baptist announced, even when John the Baptist professed his faith that you were coming again. Thank you, God, for allowing us to breathe again. God, even when you rose from the dead and Thomas needed to touch you, he wanted to put his finger in the very places that the nails were. You gave him the ability to breathe again. God, even when Simon Peter doubted you, even when he said that he wouldn't doubt you, even when he said he wouldn't deny you, and he cursed and he swore, because of the faith that he had was now replaced with fear, false evidence appearing real. God, when you restored him, when you reconciled Peter back unto you, God, you told him to feed your sheep. Now, I know this example that I'm going to give of fear might bother a few people, but Jesus, yet when he was the Son of Man, he asked you in the Garden of Gethsemane to take this cup away from him. My. In the intense pressure of his humanity, he said, Father, can you remove this cup from me? Even in the intensity of knowing that he was going to the cross to be suffocated by his own things in his own body while he was nailed, because when you're nailed to a cross in the manner for which he was, they knew that you would drown and that he would drown in the very fluids in his body. But he still finished what God gave him to do. When you've wrestled, when you've struggled, when you've dealt with the fear of divorce, when you've dealt with the fear of losing a relationship, when you've dealt with the fear of institutionalized racism, when you dealt with the fear of institutionalized sexism, when you dealt with the very things that you deal with on your job, in the classroom, remember when those pressures come to your life to try to bind you where you can't move, where you feel like you're sinking in the quicksand, when you feel like you're drowning in the sea, when you're blind and the scales are on your eyes and you can't see. Remember the word of God that he's placed in you to remind you that he's left you with peace, that he's told you not to fear, for he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. Don't forget, although life will try to intimidate you, although life will try to emulate this or emulate that, remember the sovereignty of God. Remember that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and an end, and the end, and another end, and another end, and another end. God will give you another beginning, and another beginning, and another beginning. Because in the end, God is still in control. In the end, no president, no king, no queen, no CEO, no CFO, no sickness, no dis-ease for disease, no anything, no anyone can take God out of the control that he has. So we can't allow the false evidence that appears real to make us think that it's greater than our God. Our God exists. Our God is God. Our God is in control. Our God is in charge. Many people say that they're the HNIC or whatever they want to be, whether they're the head. God has already told us that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. So we need to put our faith and our trust in God. Don't put it in something. Don't put it in someone. Don't allow your faith to be challenged by the very thing that God is using to deliver you, the very breath that God has given you to trust him, the very promises that God made your mother and your mother's mother and your dad's mother and your ancestors and your great, 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 great-great-grandmother and grandfather. Have faith in God. Worship him. Adore him. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have faith in God, not necessarily in your personal experiences or your history, although those things may cause you to have even more faith in God, so that you can quietly allow yourself to meditate day and night on his word and meditate on all of the things that he's brought you from, that he's delivered you from, that sickness, that disease, that heartbreak, that disappointment, that issue on the job, that institutionalized ageism, that institutionalized racism, that institutionalized sexism, that leader, that colleague, those subordinates, whoever, wherever they are, that plague, whatever has caused you to feel that you have to be bound, that has caused you to challenge you to make you think that you can't see. The word of God says that his peace he leaves with us. Do you know what it really means to have peace? Do you know what it really means to walk in the agape love of God? Let me give you a few more scriptures that you can meditate on, that will cause you to know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is still in control. Proverbs 12 and 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. My, 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 my. Joshua 1 and 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Matthew 6 and 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. My, my, my. Humble yourselves, then, under God's mighty hand, so that he will lift you up in his good time. Leave all your worries with him, because he cares for you. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to rescue you. Isaiah 35 and 4. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, but they have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? That's Luke 12, verses 23 through 26. Psalms 27 and 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Mark 6 and 50 says, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's what God is telling you, to take courage. He's right there with you. Don't be afraid. Psalms 46 and 1 is reminding you that God is your refuge and your strength. And he's ever an present help in times of trouble. Has he ever helped you? He's helped me. Has he ever delivered you? He is always delivering me. Has he ever loved you so much until it didn't matter what was going on around you? You knew that God, your helper, was right there, according to Psalms 118, verses 6 and 7, that says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Remember, I said that earlier. But whosoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. God's a keeper. He'll keep us safe. Even Mark 4 and 39 says, and he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Every listener on this line, every listener via Blog Talk, every listener, however you're listening via the archive, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Is it being bound? Or has the cares of life caused you to be blind? Let's walk in the faith of God. Let's trust God. Let's know that his angels are encamped all around us and that God will deliver us according to Psalms 34 and 7. Let's know that when we pray to the Lord, he will answer us and that he'll free us from all fears, according to Psalms 34 and verse 4. Don't be afraid. The Lord God himself will fight for you. He's fought for me so many times. What I love about chapter 1, verse 17, is that it says, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Remember, God always has the last say so. Remember that we will be victorious in God. Remember that it doesn't matter what's going on, that God is still in control. And my heart is overwhelmed with all of the pain and the suffering that people of color have endured. But yet I know that even my heart will be at peace knowing that God is an ever present help in times of trouble. And although the protesters are protesting so their voices can be heard, let's remember that while we are here and we can breathe again, that we need to be a breath for every last one of those people that have lost their lives, whether to a noose or to a knee on someone's neck, a knee on someone's chest, wherever or whatever they had to deal with, in order to cause us to be provoked to obey God. Rodney King, Malice Green, Sean Bell, Kirk Grant, Trevon Martin, Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Laquan McDonald, Walter Scott, Freddie Gray, Antoine Rose Jr., Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and Emmett Till. our cousin Bonnie. I can go on and on with fears and injustices that have been placed on our people, that have been placed towards our family members, that have been placed towards our neighbors. But the one thing I can never, ever, ever declare is that God is not in control. So although the false evidence appears real, and we have lost many that have caused us to wake up and breathe again, remember, it's false evidence appearing real that causes us decisions, and we have to seek God for the wisdom when we make those decisions. Breathe again. That's all I have. Minister Sheila.
Thank you, Apostle-elect. I want to thank you for the encouraging words and that prayer. And just thank you. And I just want to thank God again and over and over and over again. Because we all need Him to encourage us, to feed us, to fill us with the directions, the way to go, the way to do things. We need to pray more and to ask Him to lead us into the right direction and to cover us all and protect us. I want to open the lines now and want to ask if anyone on the line that might have something to say, a testimony, or words of encouragement. Your time is now.
I just like to say good morning to the saints and praise and thank God for another Sunday. Oh, Lord, I just want to share with my cousin, Apostle Alex Cecilia. Keep letting God use you. You are His vessel, and He is well pleased. What a powerful, powerful word that we breathe only through Christ. We only breathe in Him. He is our breath. Wow. And I just wanted to add one thing, just a word from Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I pray, God, and thank God for this wonderful ministry that He has placed on your heart as it expands and you have more territory. I just thank God for you and believe that His will be done in all of our lives. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Minister Marlo McCoy, for the words. Is there anyone else?
Good morning, people of God.
Morning.
This is Cynthia Seabury. God bless you. I've been inspired and just so richly fed by the word this morning. I just thank God for you. And thank God and am humbled at the fact that He placed me in such a rich, anointed bloodline. And I am overwhelmed with joy that my family and Cecilia and Renee and Sheila, I'm just so grateful and proud and just encouraged by your ministry and pray for you and thank God for you and realize that your ministry is reaching out to people that may not down the doors of a church, but that would open their ears and their spirit to you reaching out over this medium. And I thank God for you. I continue to keep you in my prayers as you pray for me, and just encourage you to continue on, because God says that your talent will make room for itself. And he gives gifts with no repentance. Work in your gift. Go forth. And God bless you and keep you. And may his spirit ever abide with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Cynthia Seabury. Is there anyone else? I want to thank all that have spoke. And as Cynthia say, I thank God for this bloodline that we have all been connected to, the richness and the love and the knowledge and the knowing, and to know how to go about the way of the Lord and to honor him and to thank him for the life that he has brought us into. And I just want to thank all that have that's listening, that's able to speak, and that's not able to speak, because I know I go through them times myself. I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. But I'm going to ask again, is there anyone else that wants to speak or have a word? Your time is now. God, I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us all, for making us your daughter and your family and your bloodline and your life of life through you, with you, and for you. Because I know without you, Lord, we would not be here. But I just want to thank you, and forever keep blessing us and to help us bless and to understand to others that your way is the right way and it's the only way and it's the truthful way. And you will forever love us and take us through and will never forsake us. But Lord, I thank you. And I thank you. And I will ask and be blessed to know that as we ask and pray to you, that you have given us life to serve and to honor and to obey you. And we thank you all for listening, for having words, and just for all of us for having life with this day, that yet, you know, some did not make it to now. I can't pray for later, but I pray that he bless us all till for the time he has in store for us, that we are all pleased to say for each moment and second, God, that you give me, that you give us, continue to thank you. Lord, thank you for all listening this morning and speaking. And we'll ask if you can tune in each and every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But let's talk with Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. And on Monday nights, which is on Blog Talk and Facebook, with Iron Sharpen Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday nights, which is Blog Talk and Facebook, Prophet Antoine Thomas, with the service of words of encouragement and knowledge to all. And I just want to thank us all and thank us to all the violent loved ones, our family, and our bloodlines, and to each and every day that we live, to never forget, to never stop thanking God because without him, there will not be of us. I want to leave you with our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I love you all, and I thank you for loving me. And I hope forever we will never stop loving, because we are the children of God. Thank you, and thank you, and amen. Have a blessed day.